Recording, and you can do 3, 2, 1, go. And we're go. Alrighty, good evening, everybody. It is Wednesday, July 13th, 2022. It's 8:03 p.m. Eastern Daylight Saving Time. We are doing a simulcast with IPS, Infinite Plane Radio, and Tim Osman is the host, and he is on the broadcast right now with me, and we're going to say hello. Hey, Tim.
Hey, thanks for having me, and yes, this will be a simulcast.
Yeah.
And so I expect people will be trickling in here as soon as everything gets on, and so, yeah, it should be fun, especially when we have our chat audience engaged.
Yeah, we're going to see what happens. We're going to see if we can merge the two audiences. We haven't really done a test run, so let's just see. So if you are here now in my broadcast, you can say hello in the chat. And my main broadcast page is fakeologist.com/live. And that's where you'll find links to YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, DLive, and FakoTube, which is my preferred platform. That's my own platform. And Tim, actually, you were on FakoTube for a while, trying to get it working and test driving it with me at the beginning. And you do so much content. You were basically filling my site right up, which is fine. We might have to get you back on there just as a backup as well.
Well, it's an important step, I think, breaking away, and that's definitely very forward thinking, because the mainstream media controlled platforms and all of their minions, their censorship minions all over the place, are running roughshod over free speech, and obviously they're never going to give us any ground. They're never going to say, you know what, we're going to defend what you say even though we don't agree with it. No, they're just going to continue to demonize it. So I'm looking at what we're doing here not as anti-media or competing alternative, but as like a parallel media. Like, I'm not even trying to be accepted on their platforms. So I like what you're doing with FakoTube, and I am sending people over there to FakoTube.com/live.
Yeah, well, that's FakeOlogist.com/live. Actually, you were a little choppy just there. Did you do anything differently, or just try to figure out what's going on here? Because your audio was a little choppy. Am I sounding nice and clear?
Okay, it's clear on your side. I think we should be fine now. You know what happened was, I tried to add all the channels, and it has a block on it once you turn it live.
Oh.
So it wouldn't let me toggle them on. So I just had to turn it on manually with my OBS. So it's the same people showing up. So the best I can do, though, is filter them over to the main chat. So I have the fakeologist.com/live link out there.
Yeah.
So trying to get more people to migrate over to.
I still have you as kind of choppy, though. I hate to say it, but maybe you should, because you're using OBS. I'm wondering if it's just putting too much pressure on your processor because it's choppy.
Yeah, you know, it may be. You know what? Let me go ahead and terminate the OBS for now, and we'll just focus on what we have going on.
Okay. Did you let me know when you terminated it?
Okay, done. So it should, if that was the solution, then it should be clear now.
Yeah, I think you're okay now. I think it was too much for your processor there, whatever was happening.
So, right. Okay, well, yeah, I see Dirty Benny has said I was choppy for a minute. I see Jackal, Epic Souls. Okay, we have a few people coming into the chat now. And hopefully we have a lot of people who've jumped ship from Infinite Plane Radio.
So they were on your live. I was watching your live broadcast, obviously, so... So they've moved from yours over to this one? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, that's what's going to have to happen. And that's okay. Fine. It's just, like we said, it was too much of a stress on the machine to have the OBS running with this thing. But again, it looks like it looks like Restream has some kind of a block.
Interesting.
Over the screen that appeared when you went live. So I wasn't able to actually add these channels.
That's interesting. Yeah, we should do an off. Off the air test to try and get them to go together, because I think that should work quite well, I think.
Yeah, agreed. But, you know, I'm also thinking too that as long as we have continued interactions or networks will kind of merge together and more people will join Fakeologists, which is what I already.
No, I appreciate that. No, that's great. So you're the minute you cut your YouTube channel, does it go to replay mode? Do you have that all set up automatically?
Yeah, well, here's what I do is I have a backup YouTube channel that nobody watches. And that one, I toggle it on and off. And that segments off the live stream that I'm going to put into my archive. Meanwhile, the 24/7 stream, I just return it to my SoundCloud or my Odyssey or wherever I'm sourcing the replays from.
Okay. Okay.
I never turn it off. So like the video that people are just watching, the one that was on was at hour 193. Since the last time I refreshed it, so my video is like a week long, and that actually prevents, I think, a lot of the censorship because it's very hard to censor.
Right. Someone would have to come in manually to turn your channel off. So any kind of bot or algorithm would not be able to break in, I suppose, to start sniffing around and doing whatever it has to do.
Is that right? I think it's cumbersome for them. But, you know, to me, again, I'm kind of past all these platforms. I see them as very much on their way out. Like, I had a really disappointing experience with DLive where suddenly they stopped being able to pay their live streamers. I like their platform, but I think they made a bad business decision after the 1/6 insurrection thing where they basically demonetized any channel that covered the event, including mine. I think they made this political decision that was costly. So if they can't afford to operate, I think they deserve it.
But yeah, I've heard you talk about that often. Yeah, I just find it frustrating that you just have all these troubles on all these bloody channels, basically. So that's why I have FakoTube. FakoTube is working quite well. Hopefully you can get enough subscriptions to get your own copy of FakoTube going. You have enough people that could pony up and help you purchase a FakoTube video platform. You should definitely have your own platform. Let's put it that way. So you should have your own infinite plane tube. That way you're not dependent on me or anybody else. Just have your own platform. And you know, I'm copying a lot of the things you're doing with the text alerts. Even though it costs a bit of money, I still think it's super smart.
Yeah, there's a cost-benefit ratio there. And with the text alerts, if you can get consistently, you know, 100-plus people and you gain one or two subscriptions or whatever every couple of days, it kind of pays for itself. But and then, of course, it allows you to direct them anywhere. So you're not reliant on any of these platforms that are, and it's their own interest to be self-promoting. But, you know, I'm like you on this. I'm thinking we need to kind of focus our energies on our own things.
Yeah.
Even BitChute turned out to be unreliable. They deleted all of our...
Oh, wow.
Not all of our videos, but they got rid of my videos on the Christchurch shooting.
Oh, right. Right.
I'm like, okay, even that's not protected.
And BitChute doesn't even have advertisers, do they? Because I can understand how the advertisers call the shots at YouTube. I can understand that if the big brands that are all woke are saying, listen, we don't want this kind of material. We're not sponsoring it. So just take it off. But who sponsors BitChute? I thought that was where... Who or where are they from?
You know what? That's a good question. And, you know, to me, I'm like thinking that they're being coerced or something. Perhaps it has to do with, I don't know. I remember at the time they were censoring all kinds of platforms, but could be social pressure as well. I'm not quite sure. I mean, how could they be held liable? You know, the person who uploads ought to be, but it's very questionable to me anyway that they wouldn't fight it. Because if I owned a platform like that, I would say, I'm not going to let you shut me down for what looks to be a psychological operation. Prove to me it's real, and then we'll talk.
Now, just to talk a little bit more shop, because I'm really interested in your text. You sent me the platform you're using, Easy Text. I just started it yesterday. And then Marcus Allen of Escape the New Normal, he's in marketing, and he told me about superphone.io. And I'm just curious, have you figured out how much in real money you're spending on texting? Because I want to get the best value for value on texting before I sign up.
Well, I only use the texts when obviously people opt in. And I usually only get the people who are on Patreon. So they've already are participating.
Oh, okay.
And then two, I only use them if it's going to be a live stream where we take calls. So it's not for replay. So I try to minimize the use, but it probably costs, depending on the size. And of course, the more you spend, presumably, the more your channel's making. Mm-hmm. So it could be anywhere $50 a week or more easily.
Oh, okay. Because this plan, I'm just looking at the thing now. I know this might be boring to the audience, but you know, we're trying to conspire here to do better. So this one here is $20 a month, 10 cents a subscriber, and 1 cent a message. I'm just curious. So that says if you have 100 subscribers or send 100 or 1,000 messages. Does that sound like some? Are you sending more than that, do you figure, in a month?
Well, I know the first time I got set up with this, it was close to Black Friday, and I got a significant discount.
Oh, okay.
And so, yeah, you pay for a monthly plan, and then you pay less per thing.
Right.
But if you can figure out what it's going to be per week to send notifications, and mm-hmm. then you account for it, it's like, it can definitely pay for itself, but it could add up quick if you were just blasting product ads or something.
Right.
It's an expensive mode of advertising, but it's the most targeted and direct thing that you can get.
And I've heard it's the most successful as well, because people always open their text. That's what Marcus the Marketer was telling me today.
Oh, sometimes people text me back and it relays it. So I get text message tips. They say, hey, you got to check out this YouTube video.
Oh.
So there is kind of a two-way interaction there. So I think it's a worthwhile investment as far as for you for streaming. And even if you only use it a couple times a month, mm-hmm. it's definitely worth it, because you will get all of your most engaged people for the first few minutes. They'll all pop in. And of course, that's the idea here, is trying to get all these scattered minds in different time zones to synchronize with your radio program. That's the new model.
Well, yeah, for sure.
More thing, compare it to the price of an app, because the app requires that you sell the app that you've paid for and invested in. You get them to download it and then use it. And I don't even use as many. I try not to. I hate apps. I just like everything simple. So
yeah, I'm sort of the same.
Text alerts. If you compare the two, if you're debating between text alerts and apps, I'd go text alerts.
Well, the FacoTube app is not even approved on Apple, because they said, we'll approve it if you remove all the content from FacoTube. So I said, well, what's the point of that? So they are previewing the content that app delivers. And if they don't like it, they won't approve it. So I can't get my FacoTube app. And then I've sort of like you, I thought, why do I need an app? Why do I have apps anyway? Because the website, the plain old website formats fine in the phone browser. It looks actually just as good or better. So you don't really need an app, but the app does one thing, and it often has a notification built in. But like you said, someone has to install the app. And they might not want to do that.
I had an app for Infinite Plane Society for a time, but I was constantly alerting people to PSYOPs. That was the whole point. Mm-hmm. And I quickly ran afoul of Google Play.
So
I realized you got to play by their rules as well.
So see, okay. So that's the problem with even Google. So they didn't like what you're doing, so they just canceled you out of the app. I can't even find the FacoTube app in the app Google store anymore. I actually looked for it one day and I couldn't find it.
They use the whole CV19 as an excuse to censor everything from crowdfunding to apps. So everything is just, even like even Patreon, you can send links and you can get all your subscribers on the same sheet. But if you send something in there that contains harmful misinformation, they could take action. I'm in favor of text alerts. Of course, mailing lists are important, mm-hmm. but the immediacy of text alerts if you want to get callers.
So you're okay on Patreon. Patreon isn't harassing you at this point?
I keep everything vague and I keep everything very simple. I never really put my newsletters that are too opinionated in there, because they basically scrape the web for offensive opinions. You know, it's ongoing. This infodemic, as they see it, is an ongoing war, and they're constantly looking for other places to censor. Like I see them looking, I mean, memes are the main weapon in their war. It's all about propaganda, and they don't want competition. And I see that. It's like I was saying earlier today, it's like they don't want you to have a distinction between right and wrong answers. They just want you to have the answers they serve you.
And I'm sort of trying to figure this out. I think the memes, a meme, and I've been told there's different definition of memes. But my idea of a meme is a graphic with words on it. Is that what you say a meme is?
Visually, yes. But you could say it's a unit of cultural info because it could be a jingle. But anything that's memorable, the root word of meme. So if it's memorable, like a soundbite, a catchphrase, or then a visual image with usually, yeah. Generally, it's a meme, though. It's generally a word with some ironic statement. But it has to be something that can be easily transmitted. So it's like the simplest, most concise way of packaging something. And that's why they want control over things. And meme control is huge, as we've been seeing. And one of the things that their algorithms can't do is they can't really determine if it's somebody's being sarcastic or even critical. So you can be censored for discussing a topic that they've banned, even if you're not in support of it. So even being open to hearing out the other side gets you censored, as we've experienced.
Well, my point was that I was trying to make with the meme, with the graphic, with words on it. I figured the algorithms can't really figure out what's being said, so they can't censor it if it's a graphic. Now, I guess they could have some kind of scan to scan the graphic for words and then use that algorithm to figure out if the words are offensive or the phrase is offensive. But I thought maybe that was one strategy that people were using to get around censorship.
Yeah, I think that really is the most effective way. And that's probably why there's a war on memes. And it's hard to overtly censor art because it crosses the line.
Right.
When I first spoke to Jim Fetzer, he had put out a book called Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, and it was censored by court order from Amazon. And I hit him up and I said at the time, because I was in publishing, I said, why don't we publish this as short fiction? I hire to write, and we'll repackage it as fiction and call it the Capstone Event. And we'll even put Adam Lanza on the cover, but mix his face with David Hogg. And it worked. So even though his main book on Sandy Hook got censored, he has a fictional alternative version of it called the Capstone Event that tells the same exact story, uncensored, still selling even as an audiobook.
Is that on Amazon?
It is, the Capstone Event. And the premise was, let's use fiction as code to get past all the censors, and there's nothing they can do.
I'm going to look that up right now. I have the original book in PDF from the beginning. I just downloaded it. He was giving it away for free. So if I search on Amazon for Capstone Event, you're saying it should come up. That's a really great idea.
It's funny too, because the cover art of the Capstone Event by Jim Fetzer is a mashup of David Hogg and Adam Lanza, and so it's just like it's the best. It's as close as we could get to saying what needs to be said without them throwing it out.
I'm looking at it right now. Now, what's your take on Fetzer? Because did he really go to court? I'm really leery that he's at the court part of the whole thing. Like Alex Jones was a LARP event. Like, what's your take on that?
No, I actually think Fetzer's legit, and here's why.
Okay.
One, he called out one of the crises. He called out the person in court as not the same actor. Mm-hmm. So, like, they don't even want to deal with him. His partner from Moonrock Books kind of abandoned him. So he was abandoned, and he actually
got
said,
abandoned.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So he lost. I mean, yeah, he basically, though, he's legitimate, I believe. I don't have many criticisms. You know, I understand why some people don't care about, you know, space being fake. It's not their priority. But his assessment of things on the ground is generally spot on and cutting edge.
But it's the court thing that I'm bothered by. Did he really go to court?
I believe so. Here's one other thing. He said to me that he had a folder. Mm-hmm. And this is when we were communicating about the fiction book. He said he had a folder. He had some material set aside that if Alex Jones took it in, it would completely exonerate him from any sort of damages for supposedly defaming victims. Mm-hmm. And Jones didn't want it. So it kind of looked to me at that time that maybe one person's taking a fall because he has to, and maybe the other guy is just being marginalized and ignored. Because, I mean, it's hard to say, though, because, you know, Fetzer's also someone who I believe he trusted the plan with Q. So it's hard for me to tell when somebody's being legitimately duped and when they're pushing some misinformation.
Right. I interviewed another author who, named John Manley. I'll give him a plug. I think his website is Blazing pinecones.com, and he wrote a book called Much Ado About Corona, which I think I've got on the screen here. It had a lot to do with describing the situation today, but just like you said, it's fiction. And that's how he maybe gets it through. So maybe he's using the same strategy.
Smart. And, you know, I'm interested in doing that here in the future because I did a book called Deepfaked about hyper-realistic masks used in government and entertainment. And this book was banned off Amazon just a month ago. I decided that I'm going to go back into publishing like this month. So what I'm doing is I'm going to be publishing everything locally. I'll just order it in bulk, get it all done here and ship out from here. So I'm going to be my own publisher here very soon. And I'm very open to taking any of these topics and working with ghostwriters and having things produced that can be censorship proof and still convey the fundamental truths.
But if you're shipping it yourself, can't you just put the truth in? Or are you making it so you can put it on Amazon again?
Well, both. Both. Okay. I mean, I don't want to cede any territory. I still want my author name up there. I still want to build the publisher's account up there. But anything they censor, I refuse to let them, you know, push me off their platform. We'll just kind of mutate it. That's one of the reasons why I was like, there's no way that they can just yank his book off the shelf just like that. And they did. And again, to me, this is just gaslighting, just to let them get away with it. Like to let them, their charade to trump reality itself. Like their charade is just that. It's fiction. Yeah, somehow we have to like treat it like it's sacrosanct and it's real. And again, it's debatable, but you know, this is private companies. So the best thing to do is just do your own thing. And it's easy today. It's possible today to be your own publisher. And I found good options.
And we got to go back to the way the internet was meant to be set up. That's completely decentralized. And the software is out there. The only thing we don't have, we can't flood the zone with publicity to get everyone to come to our sites for free and have the government, state-sponsored media keep it going or bring in just the big corporations to sponsor it. So we need user sponsorship. So we need direct financing. And one of the shows I'm doing every week starting this week, and I already did one yesterday, was with cryptocurrency. Because I think that the next thing that will be controlled is the currency. And we need a decentralized way to be funded. And the next thing they're going to stop and screw with is the currency. We already know that they mess with Patreon, PayPal. I guess you've been okay so far, but we've heard so many stories of people being knocked out of those systems. And a lot of people are just relying on the mail with tinfoil and cash. It's crazy. And we know people are too lazy to mail stuff, including cash. So
were you affected on July 8th by the not cyber polygon exercise?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yes, and I'm glad you picked it up. And it did get some attention in the U.S. You covered it. The No Agenda Show, which is another show I like to listen to a lot, which they're really good on podcasting and decentralization. If you don't listen to them, I really think you might benefit from just listening because they do talk about some technical stuff.
No Agenda? No Agenda's good. And
yeah,
he's the guy who breaks. Yeah, if you want to keep up with PSYOPs, like I used to watch Auto Hoaxers, but they're not allowed anymore. But if you want to keep up with someone who's breaking down news real time, giving you the body counts as they're tallied, it's him. It's Agenda. No Agenda.
Yeah, he's not completely all the way into auto hoaxing. And he'll never cross. No, he's not at all.
I don't even hold that against people if they are.
Okay.
I have to know where they're coming from.
Yeah.
And if I want to know what's being reported,
right?
It's up to me to decide whether I believe.
I agree. I agree. He pussies around all these things. And it actually makes for uncomfortable radio because the only way to explain these events is the way you explain them. So if you don't know what you know and explain it your way, then they just get stuck on, like you said, MSM Plus. And, I know one of the things that makes you unique amongst all truthers is you are constantly creating definitions because we don't have words for a lot of these topics and these ideas. So you create phrases and words and concepts that I really appreciate. And one of them, and I, And I do a lot of clipping of your shows. Like I've told you before, and I reached out to you saying every now and then you just have one of these shows where you just bang, bang, bang. You have all these really great concepts. And I do clip them and put them on FakoTube. So they're like little clips. So I have one here, which is on my, let's make sure it's on the screen. Yeah, on FakoTube, I clipped one of your shows where you talk about MSM, MSM minus MSM plus. I thought that was brilliant. So I clipped that. And so I put all kinds of little clips and with links to your podcast. Because as you said earlier, I heard you on your show, you've definitely embrace podcasting, which is so important for us people that drive around all day. We can't see the screen, so we actually rely on you describing the screen as well.
Yes, and these clips are really good as well because we're dealing with the TikTokification of media, where these clips could go into TikTok and actually reach people who want to hear the long format and how did you arrive at this. So I've also made an effort to join in with TikTok and start using short form video clips. So I appreciate you doing that because again, somebody might hear an idea and then come in for the long conversation.
Yeah, that's the point. That's the point. I always try and put links when I remember. Sometimes I forget. But yeah, I want that. This is what YouTube is supposed to do. They're supposed to give us little clips or suggestions, and that's how almost everyone finds new creators with the YouTube suggestion box on the side. But if they won't do it, then we have to do it in our own way. And yeah, Salty says she'll take a couple of my clips. All my videos are downloadable. You just click on them and there's a download box. Now, all my videos are low quality. I might have to bump them up a notch so you can see them. But for the most part, I have to pay for space. So I've kept them low quality only just so I have more quantity and not so much quality of the video. But the audio is still perfect.
Well, the clips are important, and I've been, like as you alluded to, the words, the terms we have to come up with, they don't give us terminology that helps us at all. They keep us, I would say, kind of ignorant about how media works. Even the term crisis actor is relatively new, but I realize that you have people who accept it at face value, then you have those who see it as way worse, and they haven't even done the basic fact checking. So if you're looking at the news media, and you're extrapolating from it, not only did all these people die, but it was a black op by the deep state, and it was done to take our guns. Like, well, if you didn't investigate it, you're building on the premise that a bunch of people died. And so to me, I call that MSM plus. And I think it's important to point that out. Are you adding on to their story without having vetted the basics? So what we do here is we critique the story and take away what can't be verified. So I call what we do MSM minus, but making these distinctions is important because it lets me know where people are coming from and what they assume to be true. And that tells me, you know, what side of the screen are they on? Are they in the TV or have they actually stepped outside of it? Have they actually stepped outside of the box?
Yeah. And like I said, no agenda show. They won't go there. They pussyfoot around the moon landing. They won't go there either. And with these active shooter drills, these ICE events, integrated capstone events. I think the person that did the best videos and full documentaries on it is Sophia Smallstorm, even though I don't agree perfectly. She's the only one that's really literally gone to the DHS, Department of Homeland Security site and found all these events and the operation manual, the SO standard operation manual on them and talked about them. But the No Agenda show, they'll go and they'll get into the MSM plus where they'll say, okay, it's a shooter, but they'll go the mental illness, psychotropic drug route. That seems to be their off ramp to figuring out these events. So they'll always say, oh, well, it's a patsy and they found a guy on drugs. So they never, ever, ever talk about integrated capstone events, which of course is what they are.
Yeah, it's always like this. It's a template, the way they respond to stories. If they're on the left, it's caused by guns and racism.
Right.
If it's on the right, they're going to say it's SSRI, mm-hmm. You know, antidepressants, or 420. But if they're very far into conspiracy, they'll say MK Ultra, mind control.
Right, yeah.
But neither left nor right says, maybe this is just a drill. And that's so predictable a structure. And both of those points are, one is just MSM and the other is MSM Plus.
But right.
They're both just adding on their own interpretation. And again, they haven't done their basic fact checking. And Sophia Smallstorm definitely did a lot of that. Wolfgang right. Helbig and many of the people who really broke apart Sandy Hook and Boston bombing laid a lot of the groundwork for the level of media critique that we engage in here. And you have to be irreverent, because at the time it was like, if you question this event, you've made a whole bunch of people cry. You're supposed to believe that every time you read a conspiracy theory, somebody cries somewhere. You're offending somebody. And if you can't proceed because it's offensive, then you don't have free speech.
And I think it's good news that people don't die. Why are people so offended by the idea that maybe they're simulating death to create a drill so we can get some real measurable, what they call real world reaction? And you asked me about Rogers in Canada, which is the largest internet, mobile data, cell phone, networking cable company in Canada. I think they probably have close to 50% of the Canadian market, which is quite a bit. Even though Canada, for your American audience, is only the size of California in terms of population, it was still a big outage. And not too many people have mentioned, I think it was you that mentioned, that Cyber Polygon, Klaus Schwab Cyber Polygon, was scheduled for that day, but they canceled it in May. And my message is, maybe Rogers didn't get the memo, or they just decided to do it anyway, because Canada is going to be the first post-nation state. So they have to, we have to do all the things that take us out of countryhood and into United Nations protectorate. So it was definitely a big problem. And I'm a Rogers customer.
But they're so obvious too. They're like, we're canceling Cyber Polygon.
Right.
And there was like a PSA that was out in the UK that said cyber attacks are imminent.
Right.
So you knew it's in the air, but they actually use that date, the actual exercise scheduled date
for
the
did. Outage. And it was 4:54 in the morning, which is just before I get up. So when I grabbed my phone, it was dead. Now, luckily, they did the same event in April 2021. And that's the day. And in a way, I'm a little grateful. And I don't praise anyone like Klaus Schwab. But in a way, I'm grateful, because I realized that it shut down most of my operation. So what I did is I created a redundant set of networks, one for my internet service and one for my cell phone service. And so obviously it costs extra money. So I've doubled all the connections, and I just did, my systems just did a fallback. So my cell phone, I just went to my backup cell phone and I had to make sure it was recharged. You know, it was a little out of date. So I had to quickly update it and maybe bump up the plan, because I'm out of mobile. I need the mobile data. And my land internet was fine. It just fell over to the other wire. It wasn't a complete Cyber Polygon in Canada. We did have other companies that do have wires going into your house. So it worked for me. It was a good test for me, because the one before, like I said, last year, it got me prepared. But the thing is, and I'm just a guy, I'm just a small guy that does a small time talk show. So the idea that a big corporation has no redundancy, it's impossible to believe. So it can't happen. It just would never happen in the real world. So they clearly just turned off the system and wanted to see, and everyone is busy measuring the reaction. So they're probably measuring all the phone calls they got. And by the way, they didn't answer the phone, which is hilarious. And they just probably spent the whole day measuring reaction. I'm sure that's what they did.
Yes, absolutely. They were measuring the reaction, and probably noticed that only a couple people were talking about the Cyber Polygon connection.
But this is
exactly what we expect. Whenever you see conspicuous drills, they're going to test it for real, and then it's going to happen for real. And they're going to give you an explanation. They're going to say it was terrorists or something. But and also, they made sure that people knew about it, because the weekend had a concert.
Right.
They waited until people were there and 30 minutes out.
Yes.
And pulled a plug.
And again, that's another example of what a ridiculous situation we're in. So So apparently The Weeknd, I know you say it's Justin Bieber. I've asked my children. They say it's not possible because I don't look at Justin Bieber, and I don't even know what The Weeknd is supposed to look like, and I won't look at it. So I rely on them and you to go back and forth on that. But the idea that you can't get in a concert, which costs millions of dollars to set up. So unless, I hope they had a good insurance policy, and I'm guessing the insurance is going to pay for that concert, because that's part of the fraud in all these events is insurance fraud. But the idea that you can't get in a concert because everything is electronic, maybe the tickets on your phone and the verification process back end is also at the door, is ridiculous. It's not possible. So there is absolutely no way that they waited to 30 minutes before the concert to cancel it when they were all in there ready to go. And again, I think it's just to destroy people's morale, because they could have gone ahead with the concert. And just 99% of the people that show up for a concert are probably there because they're supposed to be there, because they did pay. So they could have let all those people in on just goodwill, but instead, no, they just screwed.
Manufactured outrage.
Yes.
And this is a tactic. I see it all the time. Like, for example, you had the school shooting in Uvalde, Texas, and they released the video from the shooting. And my first take on the video was, one, you don't see the police running in. You see them looking at their phones and using hand sanitizer. So I put that in my notes and I said, watch, you're going to see headlines tomorrow about hand sanitizer and cell phones. And sure enough, people are focusing on the cowardly cops using hand sanitizer. And I'm like, look, it's predictable. You can see the talking points in their videos before they even speak them.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, if anyone wants to know, find your notes, I go through your notes when you reference them, because I'm listening to the audio. You go to minds.com and Infinite Plane. What is it? Infinite Plane Society. So minds.com/Infinite Plane Society. And I make show notes of my shows. So this will be in my show notes for tonight's show. This will be note number something or other. Note number 3, if I can find it. Yeah, that's note number 2. So I am creating notes as well.
And look, for anybody who is late tonight, I'm going to be restreaming this on all my platforms after the fact, later on tonight, and I'll retext everybody. So anybody who's late or whatever, I tend to replay it after. But
yeah, and I just noticed that's a function. You can set that in restream as well. I just noticed
that's
that
what
the
I'm
other
testing
day
out today. They just emailed me and they said they opened it up for people who aren't full premium or something. So.
Yeah, I saw that myself. How did you do it before? How do you restream before that? What mechanism did you use?
Well, I think before they you had to have the full version or something to be able to upload and have things scheduled. But they've made a lot of their features open for anybody now. So I can stream on like as many Facebook and YouTube channels as I have. It's like it's unlimited.
Right.
I don't know why they did it, but.
But how did you do before Restream offered it? What? How did you restream? How did you restream before?
Oh, I have a specific YouTube channel set aside. And just one channel, and I just restream it on that one. And that's been my way of...
So you do it directly from your machine in your location there?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Although now, though, I'm probably more inclined to start using their system of, directly from the cloud.
Right. I gotcha. Yeah, that's why another reason I follow you is you have a lot of tech tips that I like to try and... listen to and maybe adopt for my own platform. So you've got
to. Yeah, I have a concept for moving forward as a network. And, you know, because for a while I was with Dark Matter Network and they're fighting with some other people. So I'm not sure what's going to happen with them. But I've been developing this idea of getting all the content creators who are in our circle, or at least on this level of media analysis, to all put in just an hour or so into a 24-hour stream and just have this constant network going. I have a concept for it, but my whole thing is a parallel media with a 24-hour think tank. And so we have our Discord servers and these various areas that are behind the scenes, but I like the idea of having a public chat, like a public forum or commons. And that's kind of what our think tank has become, more or less. And Restream has made it very easy, though, to reach out across all these different platforms.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, and I know your Discord channel is very active, and you get just reading your Discord channel takes up a whole show.
Oh, yes. We have, I describe this big picture as, you know, a million piece puzzle, and we have all these people bringing pieces to it. And, you know, between the 500 plus people on our Discord server, there's nothing on Netflix or HBO or Amazon we haven't seen. And we are picking up trends. Like, and sometimes it's so nuanced, but I remember back in February, I said, hey, look, new Batman movie comes out March 4th. The subtext is March 4th, right-wing terrorists. And I've been vindicated. But even more, they were saying that the Buffalo shooter, for example, was inspired by Tucker Carlson, which is ludicrous, but this is their story. And it turns out that the Riddler, who's been compared to Tucker and Q, but the Riddler character who sends out his extremists, he's got this online persona, his weapon of choice is a Tucker. So I'm seeing props connecting these psyops in very clever ways. And that's just one example of how, you know, with the amount of people we have watching, we're able to see that, yeah, there is an element here that I call concurrent programming, where the real-time entertainment and movies reinforces what's happening in the news. And that's a huge part of what makes their fake news believable. They tell you these stories all the time.
Right. Well, people's reality is based in movies now, especially young people. They'll say, oh, I just saw that. It's just like the movies. So anytime they put that in the so-called reality, you know that it's been pre-programmed. So that's it. The young people are conditioned to everything through movies. So their whole paradigm, their whole way of looking at the world is through movies. That's their reality first. They're brought up in movies. So when they see things on the so-called real screen, they're fine with it. They identify with it.
And have you seen all these climate change activists laying down in the streets, taping themselves to paintings because they believe the world's going to end in a few years?
Yeah, I like watching the big truck drivers pick them up and drag them off the road. That's
they only do that like in the UK. They don't do that here. Here they treat them like they're precious.
Oh, really?
Like, well, throw them in jail. That's the greenest life they could live. You know,
right.
They want to be green. They don't want to be set free. They don't want to be wild in nature. They want to be confined and locked down. And they see this as a model for the world. But I'm like, yeah, please lead by example. Go sit in a cage and reduce your carbon footprint.
Dirty Benny in my chat. I guess we're all in my chat tonight. I'm not sure if you have a chat going anywhere where I can't see it. But Dirty Benny says, what is your take on crypto? Are you interested in crypto at all? Do you see it as a payment model for the future? Are you guys concerned about the government, central bank, digital currency, which they'll use for extreme control? Is there a need for an alternative payment system or financial system? What's your take? I don't know if you talk about this at all.
Yeah, I do. My take on currency is the same as it is with media. The more centralization, the more control, and the more power that the centralizers have. And, you know, I see it as liberating, you know, to be able to be online and to be able to engage in business without a third party getting in the middle, without having to, oversight by basically faceless entities that are just parasiting off of things. I think what they're trying to do, though, what they will want to do is destroy any way that we might gain any kind of freedom. So, yeah, I'm in favor of the idea. I'm not in favor of any kind of, you know, big government, obviously, any kind of big government oversight on the stuff. And I think what we're also seeing with a lot of the recent crypto crashing, a lot of that could be intentional sabotage just to sour public opinion to make it look like it's all just Ponzi schemes. But I think that's an oversimplification.
I agree. And they are not all created equal. I heard there's 20,000 crypto projects, and they can't all possibly be the same. That just doesn't make any sense. My take is that crypto is where the internet was in 1990. It's in the same position. It's a very blank canvas right now, and no one is dominating. I know Bitcoin is sort of the granddaddy, so it has an upper hand, but I think it can be very powerful for the future, and I think it will wreck a lot of the central bankers' control over things. I think it could really get out of hand for them and be good for us. I just think it's a huge problem. And all the propaganda against it is just based on ignorance, I think, because the internet, as you are making use of, unlike most people that are centralizing themselves in all these central controlled social media sites like YouTube and all the others, is very similar. They're trying to corral everyone into a certain area of the internet when it's still wide open. It really is wide open still. It's not censored in the sense that you can't get online like you're doing and propagate through to with just a little thought and a little creativity on all these different platforms. I mean, look, you're on YouTube, you're on Minds, you have a text system going, you're all over the place. You have financing through Patreon and PayPal, and I'm sure in the future you'll look at crypto and other methods to fund the operation.
Yeah, I open up everything at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm certainly just open to the idea, though, that if anything's a viable threat to the thing, to the big monolithic system, they're just going to try to co-opt and destroy it. I mean, look how small channels like mine are treated as public enemies, and they have to come up with new terms. They used to talk about weapons of mass destruction. Now the DHS is worried about malinformation.
Right.
They say spreaders of mal, dis, and misinformation. I'm like, wow. We went from being afraid of things that could blow up the world to words. So it's all about control over media. And obviously, currency is just as contested. But the thing I find annoying about cryptocurrency is that you get people like Elon Musk who agrees with the premise that crypto is bad for the environment. It's not green. It uses too much power. That cryptocurrency is going to make the ocean levels rise. So the way they framed it, and then also, I think it's notable that Alex Jones gets hit with like a $6 million suit or whatever from the Sandy Hookers, and somebody anonymously gives him $6 million in Bitcoin. And, you know, to me, this is just more negative branding. The subtext being,
yes.
Hey, look, unregulated money is going to finance terrorists
insurrectionists. Right. I like that. That's good. Yeah.
Plus, it's bad for the environment.
Man, they think of everything, don't they? They're so one step ahead with all their devious planning. And I guess because we know that really it's the banking system, the banksters, those that control the banks that are, I hate to say Alex Jones was right in a lot of ways in that sense, but they are definitely the ones that are really orchestrating most of everything that's going on in society.
Well, follow the money. I mean, it's hard to argue with that logic, but you know, I'm amazed at how, you know, 2020 put everything out in the open, and some people are still blindly thinking that voting is going to get them out of this. To me, voting is like a bad addiction, almost like a codependent thing, where it's almost sad at this point. But again, I'm not really I've never been in favor of big government, but there's no voices out there in favor of small government or conservative government. And anybody in politics, it seems like to even get in, you got to be brainwashed. You got to be complicit with the mainstream narratives. You got to believe in, maybe you don't believe in the MSM, but you believe MSM plus. So you have nobody on the world stage in any position of leadership knows, or rather treats the world stage as it is. They all exist in this fantasy. So to me, it's just become a big spectacle. But the main reason I watch it so closely, too, is that I realize that all the bread and circuses is there for crowd management. But as 2020 showed us, if the system decides to, it can turn the hive mind on. And now suddenly, you're not so free anymore because you got to deal with mobs of people who want to suddenly boss you around. So I'm paying careful attention to what the mob is being fed a steady diet of. And it seems like right now, more than anything, a lot of it has to do with climate change and the idea of course, space junk has now become sort of prominent again, to where even some mainstream science websites are talking about the possibility of space junk landing on us. So, and then, of course, one other thing I've been noticing, too, is there's a PSA out for nuclear fallout.
So, right. Wow.
They're conditioning the public. So they're telling you, if there's a nuke that goes off go to your basements, lock down.
Amazing. Hey, I heard on one of your shows that you said you had a black eye. Did I hear correctly on that? Did something happen?
Oh, I had a household accident. I joined the Black Eye Club.
Oh, but okay.
I didn't post any pictures of it.
All right. Yeah, you're like me. You're incognito for the most part, so that's fine. I respect privacy on that for sure. Okay. So it wasn't something that you were trying to join. You weren't trying to join the Black Eye Club on purpose.
No, actually, it had to do with an unruly person in a situation, whatever it was. But, you know, you de-escalate things, and sometimes you get hit by a stray fist or something.
Oh, is that right?
Nothing,
wow.
Nothing majorly huge, but it was just like, yeah, it was just my take on it was, yeah, I'm in the Black Eye Club now.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So people do get black eyes. I can't say if Brad Pitt or Travolta or any of these movie stars, any of these guys who get the black eyes, the Pope, I can't say if these are legitimate accidents, but mine was.
Yeah, well, I think it's definitely a club for those guys. There's something going on there. Pepper wants to know, does anyone auto-hoax the Sri Lanka videos? I actually have a friend who came back from Sri Lanka, and he wasn't at the presidential palace or burning anyone down, but he definitely said there was no gas there. He was able to fill two barrels of gas up, put them in the back of his large 9-seater van and drive around the island because he's from that area. So there's definitely shortages, and there definitely things are melting down in Sri Lanka. So, but what's your take on the videos? Do you have a take on auto hoaxing them?
Yeah, well, I don't like for example, 1/6. I don't believe that it's 100% organic. I think these are instigated, but most of the people there have perceived or real legitimate grievances. Mm-hmm. And so I think what the media's job is to steer people. And, you know, I don't take it for granted that it's always going to be fake. I think the idea is, of course, they use Cywar because it's more effective.
Right.
And cheaper, it's not possible to always use force. But
yeah,
we are kind of at the mercy of the mob in certain situations. And I'm always interested to see how far the mob will go and how, you know, when it becomes aware of itself. Like 2020 was eye-opening for me because the MSM ignores what we were seeing. And you can find videos, people on their own phones, just experiencing what it's like when you have a mob of people on your car, trying to pull you out of your car. This stuff really happens. And of course, the media is the big instigator. So I had to look more into Sri Lanka, but to me, this is, I think, the big story. It's the rousing of what I call the Kraken or Leviathan, one of the big memes that's been pushed out for the last 2 years. I think that there's a worldwide effort to awaken destructive collectivism and use it as a weapon against any last vestiges of individual liberty and freedom. And I think that's really what the objective is here with all these mass outrages.
Oh, yeah. They want to bring us into what I guess it's called communitarian society, which I guess is maybe a couched word for communism for sure. A form of no individualism. Everything is for the collective. And that might also mean wiping out the middle class, which has been talked about since after the war, World War II. I was listening to a video from 1961 by, I think, Benjamin Freeman at some hotel in 1961. So this is a long-term plan that's going on right now. Absolutely.
In fact, this is absolutely the case. I saw something the other day. It was a book that says climate change is racist and that white colonialism is making the air unbreathable. So what they've done is they've taken Marxist class warfare, the rich against the poor, and they've replaced it and they've masked it with environmentalism. But I do think the objective here is to get rid of, we say the middle class, I would say, anybody owning property.
Right.
They want to get, you got to get rid of your individuality. And this was conditioned in 2020. Until you put on your mask, you're being selfish. You still have a unique face. You got to cover it up and be like everybody else. And I think that was a big message. Don't be selfish. Sacrifice for the community. You know, take the jab as your gang initiation is how I saw it. And again, I think that whole year was a war on individuals. forcing you to choose to be selfish or to choose the right way and to be a collectivist and join the hive. And again, I think it was a very successful operation in that regard.
Right. It
pretty much made us see where everyone stands. And I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to tip the balance in favor of a collectivist hive mind over individuals who think and perceive for themselves.
All right. That video was called Benjamin Friedman's 1961 speech at the Willard Hotel. It's on FakoTube. It's show note number 3. Speaking of vaccines, can you clarify your position on what you think the vaccines are? Because I am of the opinion that they are dangerous. They are killing people. They are injuring people, just like every other vaccine has ever done. And I know your position has been that they were to create a schism, which they absolutely have done. They have created a fault line through families, through dinner tables, through cities, through countries. They have created a brand new fault line that had never existed in the world before. Forget black and white, rich and poor. Now we have those that believe in the mask, the vaccines, and those that absolutely do not. So what's your take on it? Do you think they're doing any kind of damage at all? Like being slowly, I think it's slowly coming out worldwide. People may not acknowledge it, but I think it's really happening.
My take on it has been, that this is a political prop to create a schism and to force people to choose between a big government injected immune system and their own immune system. And to me, this is a choice that one makes that reveals what their relationship is to the government. Kind of like, should you defend yourself or do you have the police come and defend you when it comes to Second Amendment? And I think that the self-defense is a critical issue here, whether it's border security, home security, or your immune system, and your skin is a primary border. So the question of whether you want your borders to be porous, whether you want to be able to defend your borders, that choice you make, it puts you on one or other side of the political schism here. So to me, to be pro-vax is to be pro-open borders. It's to be in favor of gun control because you want the injected governmental immune system. And the other side represents, of course, the opposite position. Defend yourself first, and that's your primary responsibility. So for one, I think it's a schism. But when it comes to the idea of it being a weapon, one of my first MOS in the military, my military occupational specialty was NBC, nuclear biological chemical. And most of that was learning about the different ways that you could disperse biological or chemical agents across the population to destroy them.
Okay.
And the idea of this as a bioweapon, in my view, is kind of worthless compared to other things. So I just don't think it's the most effective thing. So if it is going to be used in that way, it's not going to do a vaxageddon. You're not going to wake up tomorrow and the Democrats are all dead. It's not going to happen like that, if at all. So if anything, it's a wait and see. But to me, the mission was accomplished when they set out the premise and when they created the quote anti-vaxxer. I don't believe in anti-vaxxers. Mm-hmm. Just because you're against something doesn't mean you should take that designation. Maybe you're a conscientious objector to something you don't fully understand or can't yet. And I think that what they were trying to do again was force you to make a choice that has significant political and social ramifications. But again, if it's killing anybody, I'll take your word for it. I haven't seen anything to substantiate that with the virus or with the solution to the virus.
Right. Well, I just know people that are definitely getting poisoned and cancers are accelerating that where they shouldn't even appear at all. So I definitely think something is happening.
Now let me ask you this then. Let's say it is happening.
Yeah.
Is it done in such a way that there's complete plausible deniability and
it's surfaced? Oh yes. Oh yes. I think so, and I think it's done in such a way that it's a slow burn, and most people will not acknowledge that their government is hurting them, so they're not going to see it, they're not going to acknowledge it, and it's just going to take. I don't know what it'll take to get people to figure it out. I'm convinced of it. in so many ways. And I go right back to childhood vaccination. I've really done a lot of research into that. And I think a lot of the autoimmune disease, the autistic explosion, I think it's all real. And I think it all goes back to what it can never be. And they say it can never be the vaccine because the vaccine is always there to help you. So how can it be something that's being offered as a solution? So I definitely don't, I don't think it's anything engineered any more than it's just the adjuvants, the things that they say cause a response in your body that are accumulating and causing all kinds of debilitating diseases. And if you are already vulnerable and or older, then it's going to just push you over the edge. And a lot of people already are over-prescribed on all kinds of crap that's probably doing more harm than good. We know America in particular is addicted to pharmaceuticals. So,
well, I'll say this too. Some people think because I'm and some people get triggered because they think I'm too flippant about it. But
yeah,
I'm always quick to point out too that the pandemic itself was Cywar. And it's meant to be psychologically damaging, crippling. It's meant to gaslight and break up families.
Yep.
And so when you look at the total damage of the Cywar, that's just one more aspect of it. Mm-hmm. Whether or not it has anything at this point, to me, the intentions of the people behind it are clearly not good.
Yeah.
Just from that alone. So I don't give them a pass because I don't think that it's a literal lethal injection on the spot. And because that wouldn't make sense to me anyway, that they would kill their own believers, because it's the vax junkies on the left that you would think would be the ones they would want to keep alive.
Right. That's
but
true.
To me, this is also, it's part of the big Cywar. And that's one of the main things about it. It's like, look at the damage they've done to society, the rift they've created.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. And it's not going away. I think you're in New Mexico. Canada's a completely different ball of wax because I think we are much smaller, more manageable, and we are heading down to the post-nation state. But I still think the United States is in the crosshairs. I really think COVID really was the United States would always have been, is always going to be the hardest target if it's going to fall, if it's going to be taken down into the New World Order as well. Do you have any take on the New World Order? I mean, it's really the Old World Order, but do you have any views on the one world government, the complete destruction of the United States, the concept of Diagonalon, which was done by a Canadian comedian who was saying that there's a diagonal line between Alaska and Florida, including all the flyover states that are on one side and the coastal city regions are on the other side. And there's also talk of a second American Civil War. Do you ever talk about that?
Yeah, I think that this is what's coming. I look at the big rituals like 9/11 and then the new tower. And one of the things I do on my channel, as you've heard, is if I look at the occult symbolism, like why was the new tower nearly called the World Trade Center Phoenix? And how does that connect the two towers that went down after being up for, 33 years? Like there's some story here. And the story that I'm taking from this is that America is the challenger to the world system, and it's got to be publicly brought to its knees. And I think 9/11 represented that. And I think the new tower that came up 13 years later, the One World Trade Tower, the one they were going to call the Phoenix Tower, it looks like a big vax needle. And I think that represents a voluntary submission to the one world system. And I think the One World Order or the New World Order is the old one with a new paint job. It's being reconfigured. It's a new iteration. In many ways, I think it's going to be a step back. I think it's a step into a dark age for us, even if it's technologically looking superior mentally. I think they're putting us into a darker age. But yeah, I think America is the pariah. We're the number one polluter. And they give us they put examples out in front of the world of like Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk. I think these guys are out there to set an example of, look at this hypocrisy from these richest men in the world and their big carbon footprints. And once they make the case that Americanism can't continue into space, that's when everything changes. So I think America has to be brought into the fold And I think that's going down. And I think that Q is a huge sting operation to brand all of the American nationalists as extremists that are incompatible with a world harmonious order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's going to be rocky times for the next foreseeable future for the U.S. especially, I guess. But do you see any kind of American civil war?
I think that's what's happening next. And I, mm-hmm. my take on this is that what they're going to, what the civil war is already somewhat there.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it goes kinetic or hot, I think it's possibly, maybe if anything, in the next few months we'll know. But I think that, yeah, they've engineered it. I think there's an engineered schism. In fact, today, 7/13, is a public viewing of Jalen Walker, who last month was shot at 90 times and 60 bullets hit him, if you believe the story.
Right.
But they're comparing it to Emmett Till. And so I'm looking at these high-profile psyops, and it's engineered, manufactured outrage, and both sides are being goaded. Trump is about to be indicted, so his followers are going to be agitated. So, yeah, I think they are engineering a civil war. And all the talk in the media about the Kraken and this phrase and the imagery, I think it's all building up to what is right now in America, the second coming of Pluto. So Pluto, and this is part of their cult, they worship these planets, and Pluto is Hades, who releases the Kraken, and it reached the point where it was July 4th, 1776. It just reached that point a few months ago. So I think we're at a crucial point, like a crossroads here.
Mm-hmm.
1776 is being invoked right now, and I think if they're going to instigate what we would call civil war, it would be about now. And then, of course, I think there's a lot on the world stage, if you look at the big picture, that substantiates that that's what the buildup is. And, of course, I always refer to the entertainment and the programming, and a lot of the programming is just that. In fact, one show I was watching was called DMZ, for Demilitarized Zone, and it was about America post-Civil War. And the interesting thing is the people who broke away from America were multicultural, and they didn't like America. America was seen as like Nazis, basically. But interestingly enough, again, that's a reoccurring theme. So I think the breaking down of America is a big part of advancing us into the one world system. And we are the number one polluters, and we're the only ones with a gun problem.
Right. All right. Well, we've been going about an hour, which is usually the length of the show that I like to do. And do you have any other ideas that you want to bounce off my audience and maybe discuss before we shut her down? I would like to have more of a monthly get together if we can. I'm trying to encourage all that because you have so much content out there. I like to cross it over with my audience and get people familiarized with your site as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think we should definitely on a routine basis do this, and I'll, of course, be replaying this. We should definitely touch base because on a lot of these topics, I might not be 100% vehemently on point with the anti-vax thing, but I like to know where things are. I'm not turning a blind eye.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to hear where things are going from your perspective. You got to experience Cyber Polygon, which was...
Yeah, that was real, I think. That was a real event. It really shut down. I don't think you guys have you had anything like that in the U.S.? In any state? Where they
nothing comparable. And I'm skeptical that they could pull it off for very long because they need that constant contact and programming reinforcement. So I don't see it as a viable thing for them. But if they do fake a nuke, I think what they'll do is high altitude, they might black out the Northwest for a little while, and then fallout, nuclear fallout, will rain on all of us, necessitating a national lockdown.
Peter Rue wants to know, did you talk on your show about the Guidestones? I'm not really a big fan of the Guidestones. I think there's not a lot there, but... Actually, I know you've done a ton of gematria on the Guidestones. You've done a whole thing on that, haven't you?
Yeah, and if you're not into the Guidestones, they're gone now. They got blown up. But yeah, basically, the long and short of it, the only reason why it's interesting to me is it happens on 7/6, George Bush's 76th birthday, which is sort of a Skull and Bones Society connection, because they appeared on 322-1980, and 322 is a Skull and Bones thing. But the thing I found interesting was the capstone on top of it is what blew up. So if you didn't know, it's four pillars and a capstone, a combined weight of 238,000 pounds. So the capstone blowing up really stood out to me, because on that night, NASA had a rocket that was 322 feet high that was sending a capstone to the moon.
Oh my goodness.
A CubeSat called the capstone. The thing is, their capstone on the way to the moon went dark. And it went dark at the time that the capstone on the ground blew up. Now again, the Guidestones weigh 238,000 pounds. It's 238,000 miles to the moon.
Right.
So what I can say is, yeah, whatever people think about the Guidestones, the destruction of the Guidestones was coordinated with a NASA ritual, and it all ties into the Skull and Bone Society. So there's a bigger picture there, and it's given away even without going too deep into the numbers.
Wow. And all these numbers are made up, don't you think? I think the moon is way closer than even... It's the idea the moon is 238,000 miles away is, to me, insane. There's just no way you could see it. It would have to be the size of probably 500 Earths to be visible the way it is now. So all these numbers are made up, don't you think? Or would?
Oh yeah, it's all code. It's certainly
right.
Code.
It's all encoded, right?
And the CubeSat going to the moon, to me, that's code, because it ties into the capstone ritual. And even the guy that oversees the stonework there in that area, who I guess had something to do with the Guidestone, the monument there, his name is Chris Cubis. Like, so the cube symbol is very prominent throughout this entire ritual. But yeah, the timing of it with the NASA thing, it's beyond mere coincidence. It's coordinated. And even more is when you look at it from above, the skull and crossbones is evident with the four pillars and the capstone in the middle. So I think there's some predictive value from this. I think it's actually forecasting some kind of a headshot, an assassination to come. I have a feeling that's where it's going.
Oh, right. And you covered the Japanese staged assassination. You did good work showing all the squib infrastructure in and around the person. So you pretty much blew that one out of the water too.
How far away was the shooter when he shot Squibby?
Oh, right. All the 33s. Yeah. Crazy.
But yeah, hey, this has been great. Thanks for having me on. It's been a little bit over an hour, but yeah, we'll touch base and we'll definitely do more.
Yeah.
I'll have this replay available here later on tonight for anyone who showed up late.
So everyone should go to what give us your best go-tos for anyone who wants to sign up and support your work, because everyone should support independent free thinkers that are doing good work, and you've got a growing audience, and hopefully you can keep it without anyone destroying your lists and your numbers. So where should people go?
The best place to go is infiniteplane.media. It's like the umbrella, and that gets you to text alerts, to newsletter alerts, and it has all the buttons right there on the homepage. I made it very simple. And that's also where people go to get press passes, because if you carry a press pass and you're in the media, you are essential. You're unlockdownable. Infiniteplane.media.
Oh, dot media. You've got so many different domains, it's so hard to keep track. Oh, infiniteplane.media. So that's where press passes are. You've got buttons, you've got audio streams. By the way, where do you find your archive videos? Because sometimes you talk about stuff and it's hard to visualize. So where is a guaranteed place to find your old videos?
Okay, that's a good question. Now Spotify carries mm-hmm. my videos. But
really?
Yeah, Spotify has converted to video. Joe Rogan was the first one, but they opened it up and I was one to get in.
So you also load Rumble. Your videos on, okay, or okay, and Rumble?
And Rumble. Yeah, you with anchor.fm, you upload the MP4, and it'll be processed as a video on Spotify.
Oh, gross. Man, there's so many platforms. Okay, so you can follow all your replays on Spotify.
Uh-huh. Okay. You can listen or you can watch. And by the way, looks like there was someone in the chat asked us
to a shout out to
Grandma Sandy. Is that correct?
Hello, Grandma Sandy. That's my shout out. The kids will have. Okay.
Okay.
Shout out to Grandma Sandy. All right. Oh, and one more thing. You're also on Rofkin. And I think you said you weren't going to go there, but now you're there. Why did you decide that?
I was going to call them Rofkin until they let me on. They let me on. So now it's actually Rockfin.
Oh, it's Rockfin. Okay, right.
I was not going to get on unless they let me. I thought I was blackballed.
Right.
But they let me in, and I realized it's actually a really decent platform because they have brought in a lot of good content creators. They brought in a lot of their followers, and it has a few features. Like you can do pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
You can do a blog. You can even paywall anything that you put up there. So it's actually rather good. I think Rofkin's not a bad thing at all.
But aren't you worried that if you're going to be in a paddock and corralled and possibly blown off if they decide suddenly that you maybe a future PSYOP guy was using Rockfin or Rofkin to promote
their
crap.
They did that with Twitch.
Right, yeah.
Exactly, Twitch.
Exactly.
Like, oh, Buffalo Shooter was on Twitch, so now nobody can use Twitch.
And yeah, and you said they were using Discord as well. So you figured, oh, well, we're going to get blown off Discord soon. Same thing.
I thought that might be the case with them. I saw them draw a line, which I don't disagree with because it's a private company. They draw a line when it comes to a certain type of content, but mostly when people get into racial scapegoating, mm-hmm. and get into harsh stereotypes and caricatures and stuff, I can understand drawing lines when it comes to human decency. But overall, though, I think they're going to be impervious to a lot of the pressures of that the MSM puts on them. But yeah, if they chop off my Rofkin head, we're going to have our own platform still.
Right.
So my take on it is I will put this content on every single platform out there.
Right.
So we can be heard everywhere. I refuse to give any sort of concession in this side war. You know, we will be there as witnesses because we are reporters, and also we will be, competing even if they don't want to play fair. So yes, I'm definitely there. There's not a platform I'm boycotting that I can think of.
Okay. Well, that's smart because there's people everywhere and you want to get everyone to your platforms and cross pollinating and all that kind of stuff. So it's better than hiding, I guess, in one little corner of the internet. Just go where the people are. So yeah, it's,
yeah, they tried that. They got so many people to try to, hey, just put all your stuff on BitChute, put all your stuff on this platform. And then some shooter comes along and demonizes that platform. And so we saw this coming, and, I think even Spotify, I like Spotify video, but you know, eventually these things are going to take a fall. So we're planning for the future. And that's why it's important to do what we're doing here, because the network of people isn't necessarily because of a platform. It's because of our ideas. And so as long as we can still get together like this, we can reconstitute anywhere.
Yeah.
And of course, build our own, as you've been doing.
Yeah. I like to, yeah, let's not, I'm leery of a network, building a network, just because then it's easier to take us all out. I'd rather just say, here's my network. And here's Infinite Planes Network. So just double up and subscribe over there, subscribe over here. It's not that hard to do. And just get over everywhere where we are and just keep this so decentralized that it's would be really very difficult to just snuff us out. There's no way that Tim Osman's going to be snuffed out overnight just because you're just spread way all over the place. I think that's the best strategy, personally. Just keep it
up. Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, yeah, I'm glad that you're still doing this. There are very few people who are this cutting edge when it comes to media deconstruction.
Yeah, I think so.
And so, yeah, we have to just keep this going because it's the realest part of the internet. And
yeah.
Of course.
It's fantastic. And we're using it as it should be used. Very few people do what we're doing because we're decentralized and we're using it properly. Well, thank you so much for joining. Everyone, tune in to Tim's show. Join all his, just go to his main central platform there and just follow all the links and join everywhere. And that way you'll keep up with all of it. And make sure you support independent content. This is, you know, I think Tim does it full time as his main income. So make sure you go support him on Patreon and PayPal and Ko-fi and all the links. Just, you know, if 1,000 people help, then you can just keep doing it. And a lot of the things you use, the technology costs money. As we said, the texting thing is not cheap, but it's very important. So you got to help support. So thank you, Tim.
It's how we advertise. Hey, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it again. And everyone in the chat, thanks. And we'll talk again soon.
All right. We'll see you in a few weeks. We'll schedule it for a month or so. That'd be great. Or anytime. Okay. There goes Tim Osman. And there I go. We're going to wrap it up now. And tomorrow night, we have the Marcus Allen Super Show. And actually, I have an audio chat that I did earlier today. I'm going to chop that up and put it up tonight, maybe, or tomorrow morning, where I was on with Boogeyman for hours. And then Marcus came in at the end, and there was a huge discussion with Boogeyman on 9/11 and Marcus Allen, who's one of the leaders in 9/11 research. But tomorrow's the Marcus Allen Super Show. We found Tiago. Tiago is alive and well. I think he was stuck on a fishing boat somewhere in the sea, but he said he'll try and be back for tomorrow's show. An ounce of salt, I think, is off this week, and maybe Linda Curtis might join us tomorrow in the on the Super Show, the Marcus Allen Super Show. Make sure you go to fakeologist.com/live and sign up for our text alerts. You might have to sign up a few times. We're going to try a couple different platforms, so doesn't take anything. Just punch in your phone number and you'll get a text alert. And of course, like always, if you like the show, fakeologist.com/donate. There's a million ways to donate. They're all super fast and easy. And also, don't forget my email, ima@fakeologist.com. And wow, thanks for a huge audience tonight. Mostly the Osmanites, the IPSers were over. Thanks a lot, guys. Just go to FakeoTube, sign up at FakeoTube, sign up to my YouTube channel. But don't forget, YouTube comes and goes. As soon as the show is rendered tonight, it gets deleted off YouTube, so I don't have any archives on YouTube. Everything's on FakeoTube. And don't forget, we have audio archives. Everything's at fakeologist.com. All the links, fakeologist.com. It's very simple. You can just follow all the links from there. Thanks, everyone, for joining. Have a good night.